Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Your least favorite moment of the show. I've got mine. I'm like ready to roll
okay.
on mine.
I wonder if we're gonna have the same one because
should we say it on okay. three? So we're 1, 2, 3. John egg. Downing the eggs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh God.
Hello guys and welcome back to Bake Off Undressed. My name is Matt, aka Topless Baker. I am a YouTuber, I'm an Instagrammer and a baker, a self-taught baker, and this week I'm a little bit jet-lagged, I'll be honest, because I just landed from Singapore. And the reason I bring that up is because I was in Singapore at a food festival, and I was teaching a few classes on how to make macarons. And interestingly enough, when I started baking, macarons were one of the first things I ever did, which is quite a tough initial first bake. And I actually, the first time I ever made them, I got them perfect, nailed them. And then this week, I've been baking for 4 years now. I totally messed them up. It was a disaster. Like, I was being paid to be in this country making macarons, and they just did not go well. But it was kind of the equipment. I kind of blame the equipment's fault. But the story of that is I'm totally self-taught, and I still mess things up despite baking for 3 years. And one of the things that really inspired me to get going with baking and kick this whole topless career off, God, I didn't think I'd be topless all my life, my job, is the Great British Bake Off, which we are here to talk about today on Bake Off Undressed. And this is the 6th episode. Time is flying by. I remember doing this the first week and I was very nervous. And now we're getting better at it, guys. And today I am joined by a very special guest. I say very special guest every week, but every guest is special. But we have got, guys, today a finalist from the Great British Bake Off, a TV presenter, and, okay, get this, ready? And he's a doctor. A doctor. So, Tamal, I would like to welcome you to Bake Off Undress.
Hi!
Oh, that was strong. I like the energy.
It was just such a lovely intro.
I try to be kind. I try to be nice.
Well, thank you very much.
Or Dr. Ray Bakes, as you go by.
Yes, that's my handle.
I just didn't know your surname, so I just thought you were like Dr. Ray. I was struggling with your name, so I just call you Dr. Ray Bakes.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I always think with that handle, it's like, I'm going to have an existential crisis if I ever stop baking, and then I'm like, can I be Dr. Ray Bakes anymore? Probably not.
Do you think one day you'd ever change your name to be like, so when you're in the hospital, it's like, Dr. Ray Bakes reporting for duty, and not a police officer?
Dr. Ray Bakes, Dr. Ray just doing medicine now.
Dr. Ray Bakes,
yeah, it doesn't
medicine.
Have the same ring to it, does it? No, I'll just have to carry on baking.
We'll just carry on baking, yeah. And this was pastry week, so this was the 6th episode of the series 9. You were series 5.
Yeah, God. Oh, no, hang on. Series 6.
Oh, bad research, sorry. Wikipedia told me wrong. No, kidding, it's my poor research. So it's been 3 years.
Yes,
3 years.
3 years.
Since you were on.
I know.
And how's it feel to be like this far removed from it, but then still in it and kind of...
It's weird, like... On one hand, it feels like it hasn't been any time at all. And then sometimes I think like, oh God, it's only been 3 years. Like it feels like a total lifetime ago. But like now, I think this series of Bake Off and possibly the last ones are the first ones that I've actually been able to watch consistently and not, I don't know, feel like really, really nervous watching them. Like
you feel their pains. You're like, I can't watch it. And now you're kind of removed enough from it that you can enjoy it as a fan.
It was just, it was too raw straight afterwards. Like I watched a little bit of the series with Candice and Selassie and Benjamina.
Casually. You know,
yeah.
Just me and my mates.
Well, I just caught like the odd episode, but I was like, there's something about it. I just couldn't watch it properly. Whereas like this series I've been a lot more into, although they've all been very good series since.
Yeah. Okay. We won't slag off any series, but your series, obviously the best. And you guys can join the conversation. If you want to tweet us, you can tweet me at Topless Baker. You can tweet Tamal at Dr. Ray Bakes and use hashtag Bake Off Undressed, because we love to hear your Bake Off opinions. because we are opinionated, obviously, because we made a podcast about it, but you are also opinionated. So we'd love to hear your opinions. And like I said, it was pastry week, so we're going to do a little recap for you because we love to recap what was going on. The first segment, samosas. Savory and sweet, which we thought was a slightly...
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
Challenge.
I mean, I've never had a sweet samosa, but I was watching this thinking like, I'm really glad we didn't have samosas on my year, because I think being lectured on how to make samosas by Paul Hollywood would be like, oh, come on, this is my national food. Like, yeah, I've got to do well on this one. It'd be too much pressure.
It would be a lot of pressure. And there was, I'm close to tears here, guys, to talk about Dan. But Dan had a shocker.
Are you okay? Because you're looking a bit fragile.
You gave me like a gentle touch and a pat when I found out that Dan went home earlier, and you can hear the shakiness in my voice as I just tweeted him already, being like, "Dan, oh my god, I'm so sorry, you're gone." But it's all right. Pull yourself together, man. Pull yourself together.
You'll get through this.
And he threw his samosa dough. Is it a dough?
It's a pastry.
Yeah. What are you talking about, Matt? He threw it through like a lasagna roller.
Yeah.
And developed too much gluten in it, which made it awfully...
That was his theory. And I was like, I mean, when you're making like bread dough, do you use a mixer or do you do it by hand?
Because I use a mixer.
Yeah. And I said, do I? Like, so when I was doing the show, I was like,
oh God,
I was like, no, I would only ever use my hands. You know, I'm an artisan or baker, blah, blah, blah. But like now I'm just like, because I can't really be bothered to stand there for like 10 minutes kneading. Like I've got other stuff to do. But I've never managed to like over knead dough in the mix. I know that people say you can do that, but I was like, Prue said in the judging that it was all looking a bit, the pastry had a bit too much water. And I wonder if that was his mistake. He made it a bit
soggy. See, what I love about Dan is his thought process there was like, great, I'm going to roll it through a lasagna cutter so it's extra thin, so that when it fries, it's really nice and crispy. Makes so sense. Great thought process, poor execution. And then the second segment, which is a technical, which was, ooh, here we go. Every week I've got something difficult to pronounce. Puy de Mor.
I mean, that was beautiful.
Was it?
Yeah.
Puy de
Mor. I mean, I can't actually remember how it was pronounced. So no, could be saying anything.
When I initially spelt it, I put de Mor, and then I realized de Mor was like circle of love. So yeah. Amor.
Oh, nice.
Amor, yeah. Yeah. It was a rough puff base, choux pastry, and then some pearl sugar, which we discussed how expensive it was and that I should really not be cheap and I should buy some, with creme pat.
Yeah.
That's like, that was really on my street. I would love one of those.
As in to eat, yeah.
I mean,
it it did look delicious. The one that Prue had looked really, really delicious. But we were saying the same thing, weren't we? Like, oh, damn it, choux pastry. Like,
well, Dan was mixing his and it looked like custard.
Yeah.
And that's just like shoes sewed it from a technical perspective, literally just a few grams of eggs difference, and it totally wrecks the batter.
And I've always read, like, I guess a shoe is probably the one that I make the least, and maybe that's why I'm the least comfortable with it. But yeah, it's exactly as you say, if you put in too much egg, and every guide I've ever read says that like, if you put too much egg in it, it's stuffed. You've just got to
start. People were opening the oven so the air was making it deflate. Now, me personally, when I make shoe dough, I don't know if I just stole this. I definitely stole this off somebody online. But you freeze the dough before you bake it. And apparently, I found that really helps give it a really nice uniform shape.
Interesting.
Yes.
So what, it just doesn't expand in random areas?
You know how something like pops in some areas and it's like a little bit, odd shape. I can never get a uniform shape, whereas freezing the dough for me and making sure I press up the air bubbles, really helpful.
Interesting. Okay, yes. I'm going to give that a try.
You should.
That's a top tip.
Top tip from Topless Baker. Topless tips, as I like to call them, which I just made up on the spot. And then the final one was a banquet pie.
It's your podcast if you want it to be a banquet.
My poor typing here. Banquet pie.
Yeah, full on. It's one of those showstoppers that I'm like, the standard of like what they're asking them to do has just gone up and up.
I was complaining to you because I didn't like the fact it was savoury.
I think, yeah.
I don't want salmon pate in a showstopper of my week six Bake Off.
Do you not think that like keeps it nice and varied, that it's not always sweet?
I don't know. I'm like such a fiend for sugar. It's like, get that venison out of here. Because that's a different skill and a knowledge of like curries and spices and meats and games, which is not what Bake Off is about.
Well, is it? Is it not what Bake Off is about?
What about you? What would you have done? Okay, so if it was you, you have your banquete. Oh, why am
my
I saying
banquete
this
pie?
If you were doing the banquet pie, what would you have done?
Oh,
what flavors?
God. What would I have done? See, now I'm just sort of tempered by what Raoul did, because that lamb curry that he did, he's Bengali as well, and I saw that lamb curry, I was like, oh, it's my mum's curry. And so when he said...
Oh, so it's like a family, like... Would
that's
you say
like
it's a
traditional Bengali
recipe?
Lamb curry that is like a really standard Bengali thing, but it's like a classic recipe. So when I saw that, I was like, yeah, I think I probably would have gone for something Indian. If I was going to go for something Indian, I probably would have gone something Bengali. So yeah, maybe I would have tried to do something similar.
Just because I'm interested in that kind of cuisine, and I don't know anything about what goes into that.
So it's a pretty, it's like a lamb curry, but it's a pretty simple stew. So there's like onions in it. And in terms of spices, it's turmeric, cumin's the really big one. And then you've got maybe a bit of cinnamon, a little bit of cardamom in at the end and stuff. But it's just...
I love how you make that sound so basic, and literally that scares the crap out of me, even you describing those spices. I'm like, nah, this is going to taste horrible. I'm not going to be able to do it.
Oh, it's delicious. Okay. But yeah, so do you know what you'd like? You'd like French Bake Off, because French Bake Off is all patisserie.
Can you speak French though?
No.
So you just watch it with subtitles?
I can read the facial expressions.
See, I do well when they told me to do a Puy de Mont. And yeah. I'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, I know that. Know that one. Puy de Mont, that's fine.
Standard.
And then Star Baker, Bryony.
Yes.
Which you were so excited about.
I was so happy about, because I really, really loved Bryony. Like in week one, I was like saying to my boyfriend, I was like, oh, she's going to be in the final, definitely. Because she made that thing, you know, that to make that weird selfie biscuit
thing. Oh, yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And hers was just beautiful. And I thought there's just something about her. She just seems like really nice and really chilled out. She's one of those people that you just feel like, yeah, I would get on with you.
I would get.
And she was just, yeah, she's just really good, but she's not had a great few weeks. So I thought, like, is this one of those Bake Off stories where, you know, she has a bit of a lull and then she comes back blazing, or is, you know, she just gonna kind of...
Were you a lull blazer, or were you like a... Were you blazing it the whole time, or...?
I was definitely not blazing the whole time.
You weren't blazing the whole time.
I felt like I was hanging on for dear life. Like, it really... Like, it's a real endurance thing, doing Bake Off.
Training. It's like a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, it really is. I remember... So someone from the year before had written a blog, and he'd said by, like, sort of week 7 and 8, you're... like really the exhaustion's really setting in by that point. And I remember when we got to that bit, just thinking like, yeah, I can completely see what you mean. Like,
because all you're thinking about probably 24/7, aside from obviously you've got a job saving people's lives, is like, Okay, I need to practice this week's bake, I need to submit recipes. Like, it's stressful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, I've never worked that efficiently in my life before or since. Like, so I was literally just go to work, and then at work during my break I'd just be Googling like cake and writing down notes on my phone for like ideas for flavors and things like that. And then I would come home and I'd do a timed bake for like 4 hours, clean the kitchen, and then just go to bed and go get up and go to work and do the same thing the next day. So that was just, yeah. After
and it must be tough if something goes wrong. Like, you spend that 4 hours practicing that recipe and it's like, that tasted like crap. That recipe was terrible. And now I've got to do it all over again.
It's just devastating. Like, because
that is baking though, right?
Yeah. I mean, it really is. I was saying, in fact, I was texting one of my friends today actually, because she's been trying to make croissants.
Oh,
she's really, really excited.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. So she's done a little course and she's thinking.
She's done a little course.
She's done a little course that cost quite a lot of money actually.
A little.
And I was like, just pay me 50 quid and I'll show you.
Cheap. There we go. You can book you for a very cheap croissant class.
I'll undercut anyone else.
Yeah, cordon bleu, you're out of business.
But they're tricky, aren't they? You know, it took me a long time.
Oh, I still can't do it.
A lot of rubbish versions to learn how to make them. But she was saying she showed me them, and they were pretty good actually for her first attempt. But she was getting really frustrated and like getting really irate about it. I texted her saying like, it's times like this that make me think people who think baking is a relaxing hobby are just ridiculous. Like, they don't know.
I'm booking you in for a, because I can't, I've tried to make them. They turned out like peddly little unrisen. It took me 24 hours and they were a disaster.
Yeah.
I think the butter was the secret. Mm. I shouldn't have used supermarket butter. I should have bought like proper French butter.
My,
that's been a cheapskate.
You know what? It's fine. You bake with what you got. And also when you're practicing, like that's one of the things I've learned since Bake Off. I spent so much money on ingredients practicing for Bake Off. Because I was like, well, I have to bake with the best, because I have to use the best in the tent, so I have to know what it's like. And now I'm like, absolutely not. Like, if I'm recipe testing, I will use like the cheapest chocolate I can find, the cheapest butter I can find. And then, you know, if I want to try it out at a later stage, I'll maybe use some like better quality ingredients. But like, for a lot of home baking, I don't think people need to be spending a lot of money on ingredients.
It's a very expensive hobby. Mm,
yeah, absolutely.
Very expensive. And then we'll broad brush it quickly, but Dan got kicked off the show.
Dan did get
which
kicked
I was,
off.
I was, oh, I don't know. I had a feeling he was going to maybe hang on. I had a feeling he was going to hang on, but he didn't. I just don't think you should have spray painted his.
No.
Play Street, why would you spray paint Play Street?
I mean, we were sat there watching it and just thinking, because all the others were sort of decorating by that point, and you know, they were all like, looking pretty good.
I was like, oh,
yeah,
no.
He basically just graffitied his pie at the end. And I was like, oh, come on, like, that's... I would have done exactly the same in that situation. But I was like, that's not going to cut it compared to the standard of everyone else's. Yeah. I thought it was a nice idea. The flavours sounded really good. But it wasn't Dan's week, was it?
It wasn't. And I thought he's had that a couple of times where he struggled initially, but then absolutely pulled out of the bag. And then he was a bit blasé. He looked a bit tired. He was a bit blasé because he was like, oh, it's 40 minutes left and still putting my scales on. And cost him.
Yeah.
It's a shame. But then maybe it means he can come on this podcast sooner, which is even better.
Maybe he will be free now.
Yeah, maybe he's free. We'll have to contact someone important that can get him on.
When he was standing, like, sort of with tears in his eyes and looking out into the rain, like, I think some people will watch that and think, like, oh, he's being a bit dramatic. I was like, oh, no, Dan, I know exactly how you feel.
Exactly,
I had a bad week when we were doing it, and I remember coming home and talking to my sister on the phone, and I was like, I think I just need to clear my head, and I went for a walk in the rain on my own for, like, half an hour, because, like, I've shamed Bake Off Legacy by not doing well enough on that challenge. You really take it to heart. So.
I bet you do, especially because you mentioned the time and the effort and the money that you've put in and the practice, and you're like going in, you know you're going to do X, Y, Z, and then for it all to go wrong.
Yeah.
And did you do well in Pastry Week?
No, Pastry Week was an absolute disaster. So, yeah, that was the memories coming back. So, what did we had to do? French pan tart, which was fine, actually. That went really well. But we had to do vol-au-vents for the showstopper.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought would be fine, because I was like, you know, I can do, you know, pretty good puff pastry. And it all went fine when I was practicing at home. But it's just timings. And, like, when you lose a bit of time at the beginning, it can really, like, just wreck the whole thing for you, which is like kind of what I think happened to Dan on some of these challenges. But yeah, mine were just an absolute disaster. And me and Tanadi had a disaster that week as well. And we got the car home together, and the two of us were just sat there for the whole time being like, oh, you know, we don't deserve to be on this show. It should have been us that went home and blah, blah. Just basically like wallowing in self-pity for 3 hours on this drive, like the poor driver having to listen to this rant from both of us.
And then brilliant that you guys both go on to smash it and make it to the final. So, you know, you never know.
Exactly.
And you never know who's going to get there. So the first thing we talk about on this show, we call it a show, is our icing on the cake and our soggy bottom moment. So this, your icing on cake, is your favourite moment from today's episode, and your soggy bottom is your not so favourite moment. Okay. Something you didn't enjoy, maybe it was a technique or a comment that someone said or the recipe they selected. So what was your top moment, your icing on the cake?
So my icing on the cake, it would have to be Bryony related, because I was just so happy for her to get Star Baker. So I think it may have been her speaking on the phone too. I think it was her partner at the end, and just that look of joy in her face and that look of relief as well, that, you know, finally she's made it at Star Baker. But also, I think just looking at that showstopper, I thought that looked absolutely amazing. I thought it was so inventive what she's done.
I didn't. Really? I thought Ruby's was way more impressive than hers. Hers is a bit charred around the edge. Like, okay, I appreciate she did a little croquet game on top, but I don't know.
Ruby's was beautiful as well. I have to say,
Ruby Manon's
had a great
as well was like very pretty.
Yes,
I thought hers was like very delicate, and she did the octopus.
Oh yeah, the octopus as well.
I was just about to say Pussy the Octopus, but it definitely wasn't called Pussy the Octopus. No. I think it had another name, maybe beginning around that. Let's move on. But you were Star Baker once, right?
I was, yeah.
And who did you call? Did you make multiple phone calls?
I made two phone calls. So I called my mum and dad first, and then my sister. And my mum and dad both picked up the phone on separate phones and then started arguing. And they were like, you put down the phone. No, you put it down. And like, I was trying to shout over them. I was like, guys, we're being filmed. Like, this is on camera. Stop. And like, yeah, the cameraman was just in tears, like filming all of this. But yeah, I remember like...
But once they got over that, they were emotional and proud.
Yeah, they were very emotional.
And did you cry?
I don't think I cried. No, I didn't cry until the final. And I used to take the mickey out of Ian and Nadia because they were constantly crying, the two of them. Anytime anything went wrong or went particularly well, they would cry. And it was kind of like a running joke. Whereas I'm not exactly known for my like rugged manliness, but yeah. I somehow managed to not cry.
You were stable.
For the whole series until the final where I just blubbing like a baby. Yeah.
But then all your family are there, your friends, yeah. like there's this, there's a bigger, it feels bigger.
Oh God,
the
yeah, absolutely.
It's bigger.
Just, it was just, I cannot describe it. It's just the most joyful day. Like, cause it really feels like you've been through this experience, but it feels very isolated and claustrophobic because it's just been this select, you know, number of crew and bakers. And then suddenly seeing all your family there and all the other bakers' families there, it was just really lovely. And then the sun came out. It was just this really joyful moment. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
How long are they all? So when you're finishing your showstoppers, are they just arriving or have you finished? You've presented your showstoppers and then there's like an hour they all arrive and then they present you.
So we were still baking our showstoppers as they were all arriving.
Oh, so you're like, oh my God, I need to finish the cake, but my mum's over there. I need to wave at her.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely. So you can sort of see like people gradually start to arrive, but they're kind of sort of kept far away from the tent, but you can see people are there. Yeah, so then that just sort of like adds to kind of the excitement of it all.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Add to the pressure. And then did you have your soggy bottom moment? So your least favorite moment of the show? I've got mine. I'm like ready to roll
okay.
on mine.
I wonder if we're going to have the same one because...
Should we say it on okay. three? So we're 1, 2, 3. John downing the eggs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It wasn't even one egg white. It was like four.
Yeah.
And he just gulps it down like a milkshake.
It was the gulping, wasn't it? It was the multiple gulps.
He's like, oh, that protein. He's like, no, I don't even care. Just have a protein shake. Yeah. Don't down the eggs.
I was trying to rationalize it in my mind to be like, it's just egg white, you know? And I've had like cocktails with raw egg white in them, you know? And they're very delicious. But it's just seeing him just... down that raw egg white. I didn't check Twitter, but I feel like it would have been ablaze.
He didn't even flinch though. It was like something he did on a daily basis. Like, oh yeah, my kale and carrot smoothie followed by four egg whites.
I mean, perhaps he does. Maybe it's, you know.
I mean, he doesn't look like the kind of gent that is maybe, you know, heavy into the gym and then downing egg whites, you know. He looks more of like a pint and a pie kind of guy. So the egg white thing felt a little bit off brand.
A bit much. Maybe he used to be, you know, a gym bunny and it was from his days.
Flashback to old days.
Yeah. Old he was days. Like, oh yeah, the good old days when I just downed some egg whites.
Now, one
lads.
Question I have lingering on my lips? That's a weird thing to say. And that I think probably most people ask you when maybe they see you is what have you been doing since Bake Off? You know, where have you been? What have you been doing?
So I'm still a doctor. I'm an anaesthetist and I just moved back to London to start a new job. But I'm also doing other stuff. So I've done some telly with Channel 4 and just presented my first series or co-presented with Kate Quilton. So
Living it was Well for Longer?
Yeah, Live Well for Longer.
Live Well
on,
for Longer.
On oh, Channel God, 4. Because people, whenever I told people that, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be back on the telly. And they're like, oh, what are you going to be baking? I was like, oh, nothing actually.
Well, it's really interesting that you've been able to kind of transition your brand, but combine your passions of, you know, like the NHS, being a doctor, baking, health, like all into one. Like, you haven't pigeonholed yourself as a baker.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, I've been very, very lucky and I've been really grateful for it. Because I think, I mean, just going, the fact that Bake Off happened was just like kind of this random thing. Like I definitely never thought that, oh, I'll make some cakes and like one day I'll be on television because of it and then I'll be present a show. Like it's just not the thought process that anyone really goes through. But yeah, I mean, it's been pretty amazing. It was quite a steep learning curve.
What's it like moving from being kind of like a contestant, it doesn't really matter how you behave, to being like, right, here you go, this is your job.
It's just like suddenly when a camera is on you, in Bake Off it didn't make you nervous at all because you're just kind of chatting the whole time. There's no performance or anything like that, but just like delivering lines to camera I found really difficult at first. I couldn't remember more than one sentence at a time and I was really struggling. And then I was kind of like, I had this realization, I was like, okay, it's really not that hard. Like, as in remembering four sentences at a time is not that bad. People remember whole plays at a time. I can do this. So yeah, that got easier. But yeah, it's been amazing actually to be able to do it. I really, really enjoyed it. Hoping to do much more.
Oh yeah, I'm excited to see more. So that's a serious skill, a skill to have. I was watching the one about the alcohol and giving up alcohol. And I thought,
oh yeah,
that was tough for some of those ladies that had to.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but then they all did it and then basically all went back to drinking the same amount. later, I was like, oh, I feel like there was more of a learning experience.
Yeah, because some of them were like, yeah, this is great, I feel amazing. And then it was like, oh, okay, here we go. And how do you balance being a doctor, a TV presenter? You write recipes for The Guardian.
Yeah, so I write in the Saturday paper, yeah.
It's like, is there anything you don't, you know, do you have any spare time? Like, how do you balance that?
So, I get asked this quite a lot by doctors who have like other interests outside of medicine. Actually, Salio, who won MasterChef last year, happened to be a doctor treating my dad when he was in hospital, and she'd just done MasterChef. She was like, "Oh, can I ask you? How do you balance the time?" And like, to be honest, I haven't got any special secrets, but I'm now part time, and that has been like the most like amazing thing. When I did Bake Off, I was full time, and it was an absolute nightmare, like trying to balance work and also the practice. But yeah, being part-time has been pretty amazing. But I guess, I'm busy. It's still pretty disorientating switching between.
And do you like night shifts or is it like a...
Yeah, I still do night shifts.
So they're giving you special treatment then?
No. To be honest, I don't actually mind working night shifts. When you're actually there, they're quite fun shifts to work because you can kind of get on and do your work.
And do you bring baked goods in?
No. I'm bad with this.
No baked goods?
Well, I haven't baked at all for any of my colleagues on my new job. And I'm generally a bit rubbish about bringing stuff in just because part of it is I'm just really busy. So a lot of the baking that I'm doing is kind of recipe testing at the moment. And I don't like, I often don't make a full thing. I'm making components of things. But also, there's just a lot of pressure to, like, when people, you know...
People know you've been in Bake Off.
Exactly.
And that's damn good.
Yeah, they don't just want a cake. They want, like, a really cake. Amazing cake. And also, I don't know if you find this, like, when you bake for people... When I used to bake for people before Bake Off, like, I made a cake, people would be grateful for it, and they'd say something nice, even if they didn't like it. Now, they all sit there, like, junior Paul Hollywoods, like, picking it apart and commenting on the crumb and stuff. And I'm sort of sitting there, like, being like, this is quite rude.
Like, I just made you this cake for free, and you're picking it apart. All right, Paul, calm down.
Exactly, yeah. Just eat the cake.
And you were considered a bit of a heartthrob for your season, weren't you?
Yeah, apparently, which is a...
You were the eye candy of the your series.
I mean, it was amusing news to everyone who knew me, but I was like, oh, yeah, oh, thank you. This is nice attention.
And do you have any thoughts on who, as a heartthrobber yourself, is there any current heartthrobs of this season that you think may join you on that list?
So I would say... Of the guys, Anthony, very handsome man.
That's right in my mind.
Yeah, also seemed like a really lovely guy.
Went too soon.
Yeah, I picked him for the final as well. So, you know, shows about my predictive abilities. But also Ruby for the girl, she's beautiful. Yeah.
Loving the glasses too.
Yeah, they're a good look on her.
Very, as a glasses wearer, I love. I've never tried a thin frame though, so maybe Ruby will get me onto it. Now, one of our other favourite segments that we... Actually, this was good because we talked about it in our pre-show notes, Spoon, Fork, Knife, and you immediately knew what it was, which I loved. You were like, oh yeah, that's like Snog, Marry, Kill, right?
Yeah.
You knew immediately. No one's ever got that.
I mean, I'm disappointed in the others. Like, how has no one got that?
You got that so quickly. I was like, yes, this is great. You've already got it in your mind.
Same wavelength.
You have the creativity. So we nominate one contestant every week that you would like to... Spoon, fork, or knife. So somewhat spoon, and every week we usually get Rahul as a spooner, so someone that you want to cuddle. So maybe just to change things up, we're not going to spoon Rahul this week, but is there someone that you think might want to have a little cuddle. So it deserves a cuddle that maybe, you know, needs a...
I mean, it's got to be Bryony. She deserves that cuddle. And I was going to say, sort of coming into this, like, you know, if she had another bad week, I was like, oh, she's going to need, you know, that conciliatory cuddle. But no, it's a victorious cuddle, isn't it? Because she's done it. And like, she needs that little boost of confidence to go the extra mile, doesn't she?
She does. And,
although it's all happened already. So, yeah.
And I've got a spoon, Dan. He needs a consolatory hug.
He really does.
He's upset. He just didn't have his game face on this week. Really struggled and needs a spoon to, well, I would say pick up his confidence, but he's done. There is no confidence to be picked up because he's not coming back.
Yeah, I mean, he's still alive, so confidence will still be something that he needs just for life.
Just for life, yeah. Okay. He gets that spoon.
He'll get it.
And then anyone you might want to fork.
Seems rude.
It doesn't have to be in a bad way, you know, it's just a little bit more than a spoon.
Okay. I guess, I mean, Ruby, because she's a beautiful woman, isn't she?
Okay.
Yeah. But, I don't know about that one. The forking is makes me blush.
I'm blushing right now. I'm very hot. See, I think this week, although John down the egg whites is going to fork John, he just had this swagger about him this week. He had this confidence, and John, you're getting a fork from me,
buddy. That manly Welsh swagger.
Yeah, maybe that manliness that just had get me going. And then anyone that you would knife from the show that you felt, maybe it was you didn't think Dan should go, and someone that you think, snip him.
So, you know, Bake Off is a family, and we would never, one Bake Off person could never knife another Bake Off person.
No way.
Yeah, you've got to take...
You're going to abstain?
Well, no, what I'll say, I won't knife a person, but what I will knife is Raoul's lack of self-confidence.
Okay.
I think it's time for that to go.
I like the unique take on the show.
Yeah, like, I think I totally get it, like, because I don't know, you know, we haven't seen behind the scenes of this Bake Off lot, but I would imagine they're like our Bake Off lot, where, and like everyone who goes on Bake Off is just the most self-deprecating bunch of people you'll ever meet. Like, everyone thinks they're rubbish.
I feel like that's all bakers,
yeah,
almost.
Basically, yeah. So, but you know, he's had a lot of success, and I think, you know, a big part of him probably still doesn't believe it himself. So I would say it's time for that part of him to, you know, get lost, and for like confident Raoul, who believes himself
kind of reach out, even if you're three seasons removed or someone that was on the first, do you reach out to these guys or?
I haven't loads, to be honest. Kim Joy, I tweeted about her last week because she's another one of my faves. I think she's amazing. And I really, you know, when you see people on Bake Off who do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I think she has just got such amazing style. Like, I love her aesthetics, and yeah, she's great at all of that. So yeah, I've reached out to her a little bit, but follow her Instagram. I'm looking forward to seeing what she does.
I feel like there should be like a giant Bake Off reunion where they maybe bring together all the...
I would love that.
The excitement in your face right now. You're like bouncing up and down as I mentioned that.
Because I think I was thinking about it this week. I was like, oh my God, we should totally do this. We should have like a massive Bake Off event, like maybe in London, because I've moved here now.
Because I've moved to London now.
I don't want to commute.
Maybe I could get an invite just because I do host the unofficial Bake Off podcast. I mean, could you hook me up?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a real event yet, but yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
let's make this happen. Great, I've just got my invite officially. Now, moving on to my knife, because I skipped my knife, didn't I? I obviously am not going to let Dan go. Dan's still in the show in my mind. But Manon, I think she had to go this week. I liked Pussy the Octopus. I thought it looks good.
We're just going with that now, yeah?
Yeah, we're going with Pussy the Octopus. But it leaked, and then... She struggled in the two other ones, and she again lacking confidence. I think she's had a few shaky weeks.
Yeah,
she needs to go.
She seems very confident though, so competent rather.
Yeah.
Like, do you not think she's one of those? Yeah, I mean, she's another. Basically, I've pipped all of them for the final, so, and that's an impossibility. So I need to start knocking some people off my list. But yeah, I think she's got more steam in her.
She's got more steam in her. Now, I did a, I would say I Googled this, but you actually told me this earlier. And I heard a rumor from you that you were floated to be one of the new presenters when Great British Bake Off moved from BBC to Channel 4. And you mentioned it, and I said, don't say anything else. Don't mention mention a word because we're going to talk about this in the podcast. So maybe tell us all, tell us everything.
So I can't actually tell you everything, but it is. Oh, it's true.
Damn contracts.
It's true that, like, yeah, my name was floated. So it was after
replacing Paul.
Yeah, it was just going to be my show. No, just me, not even 12 Bakers, just me.
Okay.
No. Right. Yeah, like, so, you know, they were looking, you know, wide range, different people. And yeah, my name was in the running briefly with Kate, who was my co-presenter on Live Well for Longer.
Oh.
So yeah, I mean, I remember when I found out about it, just thinking, like, I mean, obviously honoured, but also like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Like, I don't think it is ridiculous though.
As in, I would love to do it, but I was like, it's the biggest, it's probably like one of the biggest presenting gigs on television.
That is true.
I was like, yeah, I mean, I'd love the job, but I'm also like definitely not expecting it. But yeah, it was nice to be, to even have my name
in the
considered
hat.
Yeah, was
and
nice.
Was it an intense audition process or like relatively quick?
I've got to keep tight lipped okay, about okay, that. I'm afraid right. Yeah, I'm sorry,
I'm prodding you too far. That's totally fair enough.
It's just it's top secret, as all things are with Bake Off.
It is top secret. I've tried to break that secrecy many times, but it's, you guys all hold strong. Now this week was Pastry Week, as we discussed, and I'm going to set you a little challenge. Mm-hmm. Challenge I didn't tell you about beforehand, so this is all fresh to you and you're looking slightly concerned. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, so I'm going to roughly look at the clock and try and give you 30 seconds. And I read an article this week, because it was Pastry Week, and it was about the 7 different types of pastry. There are apparently 7 like categories of pastry.
Okay.
Which when I looked at, I was like, oh gosh, I don't know these. So in the 30 seconds... Can you, without looking at my laptop screen? Okay. I see you sneaking that, according to
Alex. No, you saw nothing.
Can you name the 7 different categories of pastry? So
okay.
I'll give you a 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. Short crust.
Yes.
Puff.
Yes.
Rough puff.
Yes.
Hot water crust.
Yes.
Shoe.
Yes.
Phyllo.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I just need one more.
This is an obscure one, I'll be honest. Oh my goodness.
I mean, I know another one called Kadaif. It's like the filamentous one.
No.
Don't know. Samosa pastry? Is that
no,
a thing?
No, creative, but no.
I've done. Come on.
Five, four.
The seventh one.
Three. Oh, no. Two. Oh, no. I'm getting the signal. It's wrapped up. Oh, my. You actually read them in the order that
really?
I had them on my computer, too.
Okay.
That
I'm
is
proud of that.
Freakish. Slash, you did definitely look at my computer.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. You can't actually see it. So the only other one which I wouldn't have got was flaky.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't actually, I'm not sure. I think whoever wrote the article made that.
Yeah.
Just to add a number.
I'd always just thought that was a type of rough puff or another word for rough puff.
There we go.
Is it a different one? Who knows?
We don't know. So maybe we're not as experienced as that editor. But that was bloody brilliant.
Yeah. Have you made them all?
Okay. What have I made on here? Short crust, yes. Puff once and it puffed about as much as nothing would ever puff. It was dreadful. Flaky, never heard of it, so we don't know. Rough puff, I think I tried once. Again, not brilliant. I tried Michelle Roux Jr.'s rough, because he's got a very good book about pastry, which I really struggled to use. And I tried his rough puff and it didn't work. Choux pastry, yes. Phyllo, no.
I've tried.
Did you have to do it in your episode?
We didn't. It was just something that I did on a weekend once. It is such a faff. But they have had to do it on Bake Off.
Yeah, I think rolling it out.
Like a massive thing. And I was watching that and just thinking, my God, like, that is a real nightmare. And even the little bit of phyllo that I made, I was like, this is so tricky and fiddly. I will never do this again.
And then hot water crust. To be honest, I always hear it every year in Bake Off, but never, ever tried it.
I mean, it's quite a good one, actually. I think I'd made it like once or twice before Bake Off, but then we had to do it for one of our bakes.
Oh, really?
It's actually quite a good one because it's quite easy in a way.
Is it quite easy to use as well?
You need to work quite quickly because once it starts getting cold, it's quite difficult to work with. But the actual making of it is really easy compared to...
And I'm guessing it uses hot water.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, that would help because as I know, I didn't know. Now, did you have anyone this week that you thought should have been Star Baker maybe instead of Bryony? Or was it... You were Bryony all the way.
I was Bryony all the way, yeah. To be honest, Bryony could have, like, burn the tent down, and I still would have said, no, Bryony Faisal Baker, it's her time, give it to her.
Do you think there should be an even dispersion of Star Bakers? Like, do you think Rahul's had too many?
I think as a viewer watching it,
it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's not as interesting, I think, when someone's, it's just the same person doing well all the time. But I mean, I think this year there's lots of them who've been doing well all the time. If there's one clear person out in front who's always getting Star Baker, then that might get a bit boring. But no, I think the judges have got to, they've got to do what they deem fair. And to be honest, I usually agree with their opinion of stuff. Like, definitely having been on the show and got to try other people's things, like, their criticism is pretty fair usually.
Because what I find interesting is it's not a compounded, like, you might get four Star Bakers, but then totally burn out on the final, and it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's
like,
brutal.
They don't take into account anything that you've done in the nine weeks up before that.
I mean, they could have some sort of convoluted point system for,
which
know.
I think I'd quite like. Okay, then maybe, but then maybe would have won by week six. Like, Rahul was like cruising now because he's got so many tens.
But it keeps it interesting. I mean, because it doesn't matter. Like, Rahul could get his million handshakes and Star Baker ten
onto the handshakes. Make a good point. How do you feel about the unbelievable rise in Hollywood handshakes?
It's. There was that article, wasn't there? Yep. By Scott,
on last week. And we talked about it as well on the podcast. If you haven't listened to that episode, what are you doing, guys? You should listen to that one with Scott last week. And he did a whole investigation about the rise in Hollywood handshakes from series one to series nine.
And it's literally an exponential rise. He's plotted the curve.
Yes, and it was weird because he tweeted at Scott being like, no, I haven't done that. He got a bit upset at Scott and then came out and said that he basically wasn't going to do any more of the rest of the series and dishes out two? Ridiculous.
Did he not mean that he's not going to do any more in future series, that the Hollywood handshake?
I think he said he realised mid-series, this series, that he'd handed out too many. And so he had then stopped. But he obviously forgot about pastry. He can just dishing them out.
I mean, it's probably addictive, isn't it? Once you start shaking hands, and left, right,
basically jumped on Rahul because his something was so good. She was like physically shaking him beyond a handshake.
I mean, they just want to encourage him now, don't they? Yeah, with the handshakes, I think they've been a victim of their own success. Because I know Paul Hollywood said that, like, you know, the standard of the bakers is getting better every year, which I think is true to an extent, because, you know, just based on what they're asked to do every year, it just gets so complicated, doesn't it? Last year, I remember looking at some of the stuff they made, and I was like, oh God, like...
Well, some of the themes get very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, which are...
I mean, we're, what, like 8 series in, so the... Is it 8?
9.
Oh, God.
9.
So, you know,
they're really struggling now. Yeah. Like, okay, let's do it. Yeah, I'm looking at Yellow Wall, so I'm just going to say yellow theme, but that's a terrible idea for a theme.
I mean, who knows?
And do you have someone who you think's going to win? Although you did already say that your winner you picked has gone.
I think Raul will definitely be the favourite to win. I think often the favourite doesn't win on Bake Off, though. The final often has a bit of surprise.
Were you the favourite?
No, Nada. Well, okay. Our series, Nada was the favourite. Right. She fucked the trend. But usually, because like the series before us, Richard Burr was definitely the favourite.
Oh, yeah.
And Nancy won. And, you know, series three, it was James who was the favourite and John Waite won. So it's often not the favourite who wins. But I think I would be really surprised if Raoul wasn't at least in the final.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Kim Joy will be there as well. And then maybe Bryony, but I'm not sure. She's had a good week this week. I'm not sure if she's done well overall enough to say that she would definitely be in the final. But yeah, I'd love to see those three in the final.
I would have said, damn, I'd be in the final.
Get over it.
No, it's too fresh. The wound is too fresh. I need at least 24 hours. So thank you so much for joining us. Where can we find you on the interweb?
So I'm on the interweb at, so my Twitter and Instagram handles are Dr. Ray Bakes. And I'm also, I write a column for The Guardian Feast magazine.
I just saw your panna cotta.
Ah, thank you.
I liked your intro into the panna cotta being like, it's a really gelatinous, like, cop out of a dessert. But if done well, it's a delicious, creamy item.
I just see it as like, I've had so many bad panna cottas in like bad restaurants, and you're like, oh,
you wrote
God,
that opening paragraph was succinct, and I really enjoyed the description of it because it was a totally accurate thing about panna cotta.
What I actually wrote was really, really long, and then I had to cut it out because I was like, well, one, it won't fit in the actual column, but also I'm basically just dissing this thing that I made.
For... this is a terrible dessert, but I'm going to give you a recipe.
Yeah, God, anyways. Who would ever eat this? God, morons. Oh, yeah, eat mine. It's good.
It did. The photography was wonderful. I wanted to dig into it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I'm in The Guardian as well, and hopefully you'll be back on your TV screen soon.
Well, we will be looking out for you, and you know, maybe if there's another baking spin-off show, we'll look out for you there. But okay. Thank you so much for joining us, and you guys, make sure you subscribe to Bake Off and Dress, because there's only 4 weeks of Bake Off left, so you've got to subscribe now, because then you might miss the next 4 episodes, and we don't want you to do that. And leave us a review, so we get some interesting reviews every week, and it'd be helpful if we got 5 stars, guys, because
come on, guys.
Yeah, there we go. Look, do it. 1 star's not great. 2, terrible. 3, awful. 4, still not that great, but 5. That's what pays the bills, right? Exactly. 5 stars is what gets it going. So hope you guys enjoyed it. You can follow me on my social media at Topless Baker. If you type in topless, you'll probably just find me and some other questionable things, but just get straight to the baker and you get Topless Baker. And don't forget to join in every week, hashtag Bake Off Undressed. And we will see you guys next week for Vegan Week. Ooh, Vegan Week. Here we go. This is going to be interesting. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.